It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I miss my wife. Michelle, you listening? I hope you're listening there. I know you're always up bright and early, running around the house with a grandkid under one leg, or one under one arm, whatever. Miss you, honey. Although Marcy's been good to me, and Denny's been good to me, and Craig's been, they've all been good to me, but folks, I gotta look over here. I miss you, honey, so I'll be home. Daddy be home later. Hey, folks, coming to you live. I ought to flip my phone the other way. This is gonna mess this up. Hang on. If I do this, Jared said, don't do that. Uh-oh. Let me come back here. And Larry just said, hey, nice hotel you're in. Larry, this ain't no hotel. I'm staying in Denny Bryan's home from Oskaloosa, Iowa. We had a great event last night. Got a couple things I want to talk about here before we get up and rolling. And David Arthur today is heading to Worthington Kilbourne High School. Gets a chance to go speak at Kilbourne High School today to those high school students. And we want to pray for David, lift him up and encourage him, strengthen him, because he's never done anything like this. And you might think it's okay and might think it's exciting, but until you really have to go stand in front of those kids, it can be pretty intimidating. So God bless you, David. And Mark Trump's sitting in for David today. Is that right, Mark? See, Mark, you out there? I thought I saw you.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Mark, you know, hey, folks, another show. Hey, Trumper, I got to get you set up to do a show on sleep. I was with Mark this weekend when we were down in Bremen, and I asked a question to him because Mark's that data guy. I keep looking the wrong end of the camera. I'm sorry. Mark's that data guy, you know, and he's always into data about this and data about that. And I said, listen, what the heck happens to us when we go to sleep? What happens to our brain that I can lay my head down on a pillow and wake up 7 hours later and the whole world passed by and my brain kept working, my heart kept, what is that all about? And of course, you know, Trump, he sends me a video on it. But isn't that a fascinating thing? What is that? What is going on inside your brain in the middle of the night? Sometimes you sit up and you're having a nightmare. What is that all about? So that would be an interesting show that we'll try to get to here at some point, but certainly not today. Had a great event last night. Jared, see if you can pull. I sent you a picture on that, Jared. See if you can throw that thing up on the screen for us last night. Look at that, folks. I told the story, as I said, many, many times, that when Chad, who's in here with us today, when I first did our first huddle, it was down in Moody, Texas, or Temple, wherever it was, Chad. And I flew in. We had Rusty Thomas come over. We were ready to give him a great event. And doors opened and the door closed, and it was me and Chad and his wife and Rusty, who was one of the speakers, and that's it. And so we did a huddle with me, with four of us, two speakers, and Chad and Michelle sat there and acted like they were interested. And when we walked out, we ran into Glenn and Corinne, who were late coming down from Dallas. We took them over to Whataburger or some hamburger joint and explained what was going on, and now Chad's got this booming huddle group going on down there in Moody, Texas. Awesome. So I told that a lot of times last night. I told Denny. Denny said, hey, listen, folks out there, I'm going to bring Denny in here. He never knows when to shut up, but I'll bring him in here in a second. He just emailed me. He just emailed me and said, hey, I'd like to do something out here in Oskaloosa. So I said, sure, let's do it. And he said, I can get 250 people. I know I can. I can get 250. So I'm laughing under my, you know, sure, yeah, you can. Because I know how it is, because most times we're just big talkers, aren't we? We ain't doers, we're just big talkers. So I flew in here yesterday afternoon and came in and you know, Denny's, he's nervous as a hen, as we all would be, you know. People are calling and canceling on him, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's typical. Denny had a big family. So if his family gets here, we'll have 15, we'll be okay. So nobody be too embarrassed. And I'll be daggone, they just kept coming and coming and coming. So you can see there on your screen, That's somebody climbed up high and took a picture. Denny owns a flooring company. What's the name of it, Denny?
Modern Floor Covering.
Modern Floor Covering. So you see carpet in the room and everything. This is in his his office or his business in his warehouse. They set up 200 chairs, and they came, and it was a powerful moment. So there you can see all of us sitting there, and Denny knows more about it than anything. Denny, I'm just going to let you come in here. Just take a few minutes, and Craig will get you in here too. Denny, just talk a little bit about what your folks listen to. Listen, I'm not bringing Denny on here just to blow smoke. Okay, you can do this. You can do this. In fact, Dr. Bob was there from Manchester. He's on the other part of Iowa. He drove down last night. He was part of it. We're going back there next week, and I got probably three more people from different places here in Iowa who want to do something. People want to do something. So I'm speaking to all of you out there who say, I can't do anything. You got to do something. You got to do something. We got to do something. Time is now. And Denny Bryan is, as you're going to see him when Denny starts yapping, he's got the gift of gab, but he loves the Lord deeply. And I want to say this. He has a lot of people must respect him, because he invited people and they came. We printed up a flyer. He handed out a flyer. He was hoping for 250. Somebody said between 110 and 115 people showed up last night. So Denny, you got to tap on your phone there, Denny. Yeah, there you go. Come on in here, man, and just talk about Denny, this whole process. Hey, should I limit in Craig to just 5 minutes, or he's going to go on forever anymore if I don't say something? No, hang on. Can we hear him yet there? Just touch that little red microphone. Is it working? There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Okay. Denny, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this off. I'm going to let you talk through my microphone. Okay. Otherwise, we'll get an echo. And I'll be able to hear you.
Okay. Okay. Will you guide me?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it all started about a month and a half ago. I emailed Coach, and he responded immediately. And I just felt led by the Lord that we were supposed to do this here in Oskaloosa. And we started putting it together, and it happened as easy as soft butter. It really did. Coach got back with me immediately. We discussed what days, and he said, just give me a day. And I asked him how much he was going to charge me. He said, free will offering.
And I don't even think I said that, did he, back then? That's okay. Go ahead.
So it just went together. We had a lot of prayer. I got a group of guys to come with me and to discuss. And we put together, I call it an inner group.
His camera's on.
We made flyers, and we just went around, and it was just, I don't know what else to say. It was all God, 100% God.
Denny, why'd you feel the need to do this, man? Because listen, there are a lot of people out there who just like you, and they're saying to themselves, I couldn't pull something like this off.
Well, a few months ago, I have an illness, and
Denny's on oxygen.
I'm on oxygen.
COPD and some other things like that he's dealing with.
So I'm sitting there. I'm in bed, and I get up in the morning and was discussing with my wife and saying, you know, one day I'm going to stand before Jesus here soon, possibly. And I'm going to, in the parable of the talents came, and I said, I'm going to have to answer for every minute of my life. And I said, I'm very concerned about that. I love the Lord with all my heart, but I've spent a lot of my life about me. And it was that next week I got the email on soft men or whatever it was, sissy men.
Whatever, all the same.
and same, actually the same week, then my former best friend who passed away about 12 years ago, son committed suicide from overdose on drugs.
Folks, listen, there are hurting people everywhere who are looking for something, some solutions. They understand something is seriously wrong. I know we all get that, right? Well, who, other than those of you who've been in the queue for a couple of years here now, who's gonna do it if you don't? If some of you guys don't step up in your communities and say, listen, I'm going to do something about it, nobody's going to do it. Go ahead, Denny.
And okay. And
I talk more than you.
Yeah. And bottom line, it just hit me. I have to do something. Got a hold of Dave. That got it just came together so smooth. And I just felt so angry when my friend's son committed suicide. I felt like, and I'm not a football player, you know, with the coach, but I felt like Satan was offense and the Christians are defense and we're just standing there, let him run by. Amen. And they have no resistance. And I said, I'm tired of it. And if I got 6 months or 6 years to live, I'm going down fighting. I'm done, Amen. You know? And he put it together so easily. Honestly, guys, Dave and his staff up there work with you, and it's not hard.
And no, Gary, we didn't get a bunch of signatures, but we will. We didn't do a good job of handing those things out, but we'll take care of it. Denny's putting together a team. Hey, Denny, let's change gears here just a second. They can hear me. I can yell. It's okay. They can hear me. It was a powerful night, wasn't it? I'm not blowing smoke. It was powerful.
People folks, tell me they were shaking.
I did a presentation last night, folks. I opened up and did a little bit of discussion and painted a picture and told about who I was. And then I went into a PowerPoint of the lie of the separation between the church and state. Mm-hmm. A lie. And I took them through it and I broke it down and I used quotes from our founding fathers. Didn't he talk about that? It was something, wasn't it? I had a young lady came up to me. She said she thought her heart was going to pound out of her chest. She said it just never stopped as she watched the lies that we've been told. Remember, the enemy operates through deception, lies and deception. And that's all we've been taught is lies. We've been taught lies in the church and outside the church and in the government and outside the government and in school and outside. Just lie after lie after lie. And the power of truth and people reading it with their own eyes. Go ahead, Denny. I'll let Craig jump in here.
It was unbelievably, and it was an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever.
Could have
it seemed
longer.
Like 5 minutes, and people were not done. And it was just, and I had numerous people come up to me that none of these people had ever heard of Dave before. This was an introduction to Coach Dave in Oskaloosa. And
it ain't about Coach Dave, okay? It ain't about me.
Yeah, but God used you.
I'm the messenger, right? I'm the messenger.
He sure used you last night. And we had pastors, we had teachers, we had principal there.
Actually, three pastors showed up. You believe that? Three of them did.
And that's why we had it at the store, is I didn't want anybody to think we was a denomination. And we had every denomination,
awesome.
Probably at least 12 to 15 different denominations represented there.
Marcy, let Marcy, Denny's, jump in there. Just tell us a woman's reaction, Marcy. Just talk here and tell us a woman's reaction to what you saw there last night.
We had a great time, a blessed time, actually. It was, I don't know, we just felt the spirit there.
Did you see where you'd been lying to, Marcy?
One of our close friend of ours that's been for a long time has been in the Iowa legislature she served for like 12 years, was there. And shared some things about our state. And way back in, I think it was 74 or so, we put an anonymous advertisement in the paper asking people. It was kind of about abortion. And we've had a heart for that our whole life.
And yes, we spoke about that last night. We didn't soft soap it either. Go ahead, Marcy.
But she shared of what's going on in the state of Iowa, that we do have a bill that is
a heartbeat bill
that's limiting.
Passed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so there is progress, and we did go to the state when Franklin Graham was there a couple years ago. And yes, we just have to press on.
Amen.
Because save babies.
Save babies. That's what it's all about. Let me let Craig jump in here, give his 4 cents worth of Craig. Go ahead, brother.
Thanks, Dave. Hey, it was just an awesome time, like you said. What I found was the folks that were there have a genuine hunger. They were listening intently, and several of them, I would say, when the event was over, had come up to me and asked, "What do we do now? Yeah. What's the
that's
plan?"
That's the key. That's the key.
Yep. And that's the key. And education is one of the things that I had said and what I'd learned. You know, I didn't pay attention when I was in high school.
Didn't matter in U.S. history.
No, and what Dave was laying out there is ready and available to us. So I'm going to say that's where we're going to kind of focus and start too, is to get the lies that, you know, we've been fed as far as how our Constitution reads, how our founding fathers set this up, mm-hmm. and you know, the separation of church and state, what a farce that is. And, you know,
we saw with our own two eyes, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And I, you know, it was humbling.
Yeah.
It was humbling and almost a broken feeling that here we set aside and we do nothing. And, you know, we've had all this education in school too.
But we presented last night, folks, what I call primary source evidence. All right. We took them to the founding fathers and showed them what it was the founding fathers said. Now, I've said this to us a number of times. I don't know if you can hear me. We're a little bit technically challenged here today. Okay. Here's the truth. I have to make this over and over and over. When you're dealing with a non-Christian crowd, you hear me? You better win the secular debate first.
Yes.
Stop telling them Jesus, 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 Jesus. Probably, for the most part, they don't care.
Right.
They don't care. But when you stand up in front of a group of people or you're with a Bible study with a group of people and you produce a primary source evidence, things begin to change. And so I didn't give them... I might have read a couple scriptures last night. I might have quoted a couple scriptures. It wasn't a night in church. It was a night in, we're in America, and what the heck are we going to do about it? It was an education. It's education. And my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Chad said, point the camera at him. I will, Chad. Thanks, man. So, Chad, let me get you down here and coach these folks up. So let me pause a minute. Somebody come on in here. There's old Craig over there. I'm sorry, man. I didn't get it on you, Craig.
That's okay.
Somebody come in here. Help me out here this morning.
Hey, Coach, you're very right. When you start mentioning Jesus Christ, the Bible, or rights and wrong absolutes, our children, our society has been trained to turn that off.
Yes, okay. Because sorry, JR, didn't mean to interrupt you. They have been trained that there's the real world and then there's Christianity. And when they start hearing Jesus and God, they just tune that thing out. I'm telling you. But we can make progress if we speak to the secular part of it first. Go ahead, JR. I didn't mean to interrupt. Yes, I did. I meant to interrupt you. Sorry, I did.
Maybe that's called speaking in tongues. Anyway, they will give you the Heisman stiff arm. So you have to work around that.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to do that.
JR, I really, really challenged the men last night. There are a lot of gray hairs in there. A lot of gray hairs. And we were lucky that Youth for Christ, there was probably, 20, 25 young kids that were in there came in as a group, Youth for Christ. And I really tried to challenge them. Listen, it's not even about us. It's not about old Denny over here sucking on his oxygen. He's only got so much time left on this earth, as we all do. What kind of heritage, what are we leaving to our children and grandchildren? And that the only answer to any of these problems that we see in America, we all know it. We all know it. The only answer is Jesus. That's the only answer. And why in the name of whomever are we so hesitant to give that answer? What is it, JR? Why are we afraid to give the solution? What's happened to us?
Somebody. We've been brainwashed. We've been brainwashed.
Brainwashed. Because we don't believe it. Not only do we don't believe it, but we don't believe we're allowed to talk about it. Yes? Yeah, Jared.
The thing I've noticed with everybody, it really a large part of it comes down to this moral relativism. It's okay for me, but it's not okay for me to tell anybody else.
Who am I to tell them what to do, right? What's right for me may not be right for you. Remember, we talked about that objective truth and that subjective truth and yada, yada, yada. And so what we have to do when, again, in the secular debate, and understand this, folks, please understand this. There are 115 people in there, most of them probably Christians, but some of them really weren't. Right. You know what I'm telling you? They go to church. You talk about being born again. Their eyes glaze over. They say, well, I was born in the church. I was raised a Methodist. They don't get it, see? They don't get it. And so that makes our challenge a little bit more difficult because we assume they're saved and they're not. And by the way, Denny and I had this discussion, Craig. We had this discussion last night, or maybe somebody I had it with somebody. Hey, boys, you ain't saved now. You're not saved till the end. You're not saved until the end. You're not saved now. You're born again, but salvation is at the end. He who endures to the end shall be saved. See, we just don't get this
urgency on us.
It ought to put, thank you, then, Craig. It ought to put an urgency on us. We ought to have an urgency. If you could have felt the power in that room last night. But you know what it is? We need leaders.
We need leaders. We need to train leaders. We need to help help them get more engaged. Somebody else, come on in. I'm hogging it up here.
Hey, Coach, can I give you a biblical analogy of what you're saying? You don't have to just shove the Bible down their throat. As you go to the story of Nehemiah, you just said it. You needed a leader. Nehemiah comes in. Before they opened the scroll one page, they rebuilt the entire wall. No scripture was being read. No stories were being told. When they rebuilt the walls and the doors and the gates, then they opened up the scripture and the people wept at the reading thereof. So
the scripture says, if the Psalm 11:3, the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I'm going to tell you, I've learned this from you, by the way, David. I guess I knew it, but you really, really impressed it upon me. You can go to a homo pride parade and you can stand there and you read from the Bible all you want to, and they don't have the ears to hear. They say, well, the word will not return void, but it will perform that which he sent it to do. And I agree with all of that. But that word only will not return void if it goes to a people that have eyes and ears to hear and to see. And so, again, that's why I think it's important for us to not only understand the Bible, but understand the secular argument and the secular debate. Right. Amen. Do you think right now that you could walk into the Kavanaugh hearings and start quoting scripture and get anywhere with those goofballs up front? There's no way that you can do it. Right. No way. So we have to take a lesson from that. Somebody else went in.
You'd get escorted out of there and you'd be treated one of them troublemakers.
They would tell us there's a separation between the church and state. And we blew that up last night, didn't we? We blew that up last night. And so those are the things that we have to train ourselves to be able to do. Come on in. Somebody. Well, heck with
you. Dave, I was visiting with my wife last night about, she ran into another teacher that said she was a Wiccan.
A Wiccan.
And she had a term for those Christians. She called them HIPAA Christian. And I said, a HIPAA Christian? She goes, yeah, they call them hypocritical Christians. You know, the ones that are at the bar the night before. And in church the next day. So I thought that's a great term. I'm going to adopt that term, HIPAA Christian. That's what I'm going to. It just sounded so good. So,
amen. Amen. Chad, I want to pat you on the back, man, for all the great work. For those of you who don't know, Chad's the guy setting up the Salt Life Brigade. He's doing a great job with it. And I'm going to lock him up with Denny. We can coach Denny up here a little bit too. Let me shift gears here a little bit. David Arthur's in Columbus. David's going to go to Worthington Kilborn this morning. David, I know you're probably a little bit nervous about that. Just come in here a second. Just explain what's going on, what you got set up for him.
Well, Coach, since you went in last week and kind of laid the foundation of truth, that's basically what I'm going in with. And I'm just going in with truth, and I'm just going to give them the facts of my testimony, about my thoughts and feelings, and I want them to tell me in the beginning if pedophilia is a mental disorder or a sexual orientation. As a Christian, I know it's neither one. I know it's a sin. However, they don't know that, and they're going to say it's a mental disorder, it's sick, it's disgusting, and I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to give them testimony. And then at the end, when I talk about how I'm no longer homosexual, I'm no longer transgender, I'm no longer perverted, then I want them to tell me that homosexuality is an orientation, and then I get to explain to them how homosexual went from a mental disorder to an orientation, just like pedophilia did. So there are people out there that feel like they're a pedophile. But does that mean that they are a pedophile and that it's all right?
Mm-hmm. Secular argument first, huh?
Now, exactly. Now,
I've screwed up something here on my phone. I can't find me anymore. Ah, my camera turned off. There, I'm back. Jared, I thought I was losing my mind here. So, David, you're gonna do well, and I know you're a little bit nervous. Hey, who in the queue is going to pray for David right now that God's going to be glorified through him? Somebody pray for him? Yeah. Because I know, hey, listen, he's going to go stand in front of 150, 200 high school seniors who probably think he's crazy, right?
And Coach,
yeah,
I've been working on a handout and I just couldn't come up with the right words to for a handout. And so as it turns out, I had a little help from a few people, but it still just didn't feel right. So as it turns out, I was looking at my books, and I messaged the teacher and asked him how many students he had, and that's how many books I had left. And so I'm handing out my books to each student.
Are you talking the new book, not the residue, the other book?
The new, yeah, the testimony book.
Awesome.
Refined.
Awesome. So we got to get some more of those reprinted, huh?
Yeah, I'm working on the file now. I'm going to have the printer right here and right there in Mount Vernon do it.
Hey, folks. Hey, it costs money.
That's right.
You hear me? David Arthur is going to walk into a public school today, and he's going to hand out a book of his testimony to 150 or however many he told you, David, kids that are going to take that book, and that thing is going to circulate all through the city of Worthington. Don't think it's not going to. And he has to have some more of them printed up, and I'm going to tell you something. He don't have the money to do it, okay? He doesn't have the money to do it. So if we believe in evangelism, if we believe this thing that we talk about is real, some of you need to go today and go to his website and dunk some money in there so that he – if you find somebody else doing what he's doing, then give it to him. You're paying your damn – I'm sorry. You're paying your darn cable bill month after month after month, and that ain't nothing except bringing hell right into your house. And he's walking into the gates of hell with deliverance. He's got to scrape nickels together to be able to do it. Somebody come on in now. No, I'm not mad, just seems like it. Who tried to come in?
That was Walt. David, I'll buy 10 of them books that you give out today. I'll buy 10 of them.
Awesome.
Thank you,
thanks, Walt.
Thank you.
Thanks, Walt. Where can they give to you, David? Right at alphabetmanlive.com. Is that the best place to do it?
Yeah, alphabetmanlive.com.
Alphabetmanlive.com. Hey, David, you're gonna freaking blow them away, man. I wish I was there. It's gonna be unbelievable. Hey, folks, listen, because here's what David's gonna do. He's gonna tell his story, but he's gonna try to keep Christ out of it a little bit.
Yeah, he's I'm not gonna talk about Jesus.
Just gonna rope him in.
Me.
Yeah, how did you get better?
Well,
how did you get
if
better?
You
well,
look
let me
like
tell you.
That, yeah, if you've been healed and you used to look like that, well, or you know, like that man you and I were sitting at the table with when he said, well, what happened to your boobs? That's how they're going to be. That's how they're going to react. And that's when I'm going to say, oh, yeah, Jesus did that. Yeah, Jesus did all that.
Hey, he said, hey, I lost weight. There you go.
I wish it was that simple, huh? I wish it was that simple. But David, yeah. you're going to stand before today at least 10 people who claim to be they're confused sexually. At least 10. And those I know at least 10. And not only just those 10, but what do they call them? The ones who stand beside of them, they're advocates. They're all homo advocates in those schools, David. They're all.
Oh,
folks,
I know.
Folks, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Hear me.
Ally.
You allies, thank you. Hear
allies.
Me. These books are going to rock that school district like you can't even believe. It's going to be unbelievable. You know what David's going to do? He's going to expose that lie to kids sitting in that room who know it's a lie to begin with.
Yes.
They've never been able to have an answer for it. They've never been able. They don't know how to counter it. And David's going to be in there. And here's why we have to pray for him. I'm going to tell you this. The devil's going to be mad as hell.
Amen. That's right.
And they're going to get phone calls at that school, and they're going to hear from the LGBTQRS Union and Stonewall Columbus, and they're going to be mad as hell. And that's why we got to cover David. Got to cover him. Who out there is going to pray for David Arthur right now?
Mm-hmm. Praying for you, David.
Right now.
Let's do it.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just pray right now for David. We ask that you just lay your hands on him, give him the words to say. Lead him, Father, and help these children to hear what he has to say. Lord, help some of the teachers to hear what he has to say. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We pray that each one of us would step up to seek out opportunities like this to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, David Arthur is the bravest man in Worthington this morning, I'm telling you. He is going in to the lion's den, and David, not a hair on your head is going to be singed. Huh? Amen. Hey, somebody pull
Amen.
Up. Somebody, hey, wait a minute, Jared, pull up Psalm 91 for me. Pull up Psalm 91. We're gonna pray that of you. Go ahead, David. Go ahead.
And you know what they're gonna? And you know what the only argument they're gonna have, Coach, the homosexual students are gonna say, well, maybe you really weren't homosexual to begin
yeah,
with.
And there you go. Yeah.
That's when I can say, well, neither are you. By design, we're heterosexual by design.
Yeah, maybe you're not. Amen. Right.
You're living proof that they can change, aren't you, David? You're living proof
Amen.
That they can change.
Amen.
Hey, they cannot. Praise they the cannot. They can't deny it, baby. Hey, David, Amen. Are you going to? I should have told you this off air. You're going to tape it, aren't you?
I am going to record the audio.
Yeah. Do that, and David, do this. Because they'll want to know. Let the kids know right up front that they are welcome to tape. Because they'll do it, man. They'll do, and then it'll really go viral, right? So you let them know.
Yeah, and they encourage you to put it on social media. Yeah.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. So when everybody prays, my only concern is just pray for my exit.
For your exit? No, you're gonna get out of there fine. You'll get out of there fine. Now, Dave, if you had to go back to get tomorrow, that might be something different. But
they might not let me in tomorrow.
Hey, folks, listen, I'm really, really serious about this because David knows this. He's counted the cost. Hey, David, the enemy ain't going to take this line down, man. He ain't going to take it. You have invaded his territory. He owns Amen. Those schools. He owns that issue. And they are hey.
What time is this going to be at?
Starts
from
at 9:30.
From 9 to 12:30. 9:30 to 12:30, something like that.
It's four 50-minute classes, one right after another, after another, after another. And after David Arthur gets done speaking in that first class, there's going to be chaos. It's going to start breaking loose because other kids are going to want to come and hear it. I've been there. I know what it's like. And then the amazing thing, David, when I got done there the last time, kids who heard me second period came back fifth period. They wanted to hear more of it. So that's the kind of stuff, huh? It's truth, brother. We're wielding the sword of truth here this morning. Did we bring up Psalm 91 on there, Jared?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Listen, tell David when he goes in there, remember the terrorists, when they come strapped with bombs, they don't get to do a do-over. So when you go in there, drop the bomb, drop the Holy Spirit, brother, because you're probably not going to have a second chance at this.
Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
I thought about that, Pastor D.
Amen. Is Joe Silver's man's not in there today? Who said, Coach, I'll read that. Be honest.
Here.
What's that?
I'm in.
Hey, Silver, read this for us. Let's just, folks, read this as a prayer over David R. Hey, listen, folks, listen to me. Do you have any idea how big a deal this is? Do you have any idea? There's nothing like, they ain't never heard anything like David Arthur, ever. They ain't never heard it in that school. After years and years and years and years of indoctrination into homosexuality and transgenderism and LGBTQ, mm-hmm. and who are you to judge? And yada, yada, born that way, can't change. This guy's going to come in, and he's going to drop a bomb comparable to Nagasaki and Hiroshima. That place is going, it will never They're never going to put this baby back in the bottle, okay? This is war, and we are unleashing quite a weapon there. So, Joe, if you will, go ahead and just, folks, just be in an attitude of prayer as we read over this Psalm 91, and this is what we declare for you, David. Go ahead, Joe.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide.
Thank you, Lord.
Under the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust.
Thank you, Lord.
Surely he will deliver thee.
Hang on. Surely? What does that mean, surely? Does that say maybe? He might? Possibly? No. Surely. Surely. Go ahead, Joe.
Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and mm-hmm. from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers.
Amen.
Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Amen.
Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night.
No.
For the arrow that flieth by day.
No.
Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness.
Wow. Nor
for the destruction that wasteth at noonday.
You'll be there at noon, David.
1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
Yes, Lord. Reward the wicked, Lord.
Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee.
Amen.
Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
Surely.
For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways.
Thank you, Lord.
And thou shalt bear thee in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder.
Yes, Lord.
The lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet.
Amen.
Because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name.
David knows his name.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble.
Amen.
I will deliver him and honor him.
Mm.
With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Unbelievable. Amen. David, that's
hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. That's going to,
hallelujah.
This is going to, Mark Trump, the waves that are going to come forth from this, brother, if we could even see it, it would be like one of those tsunamis that we just saw over in Indonesia. The waves of these
it's
books.
Amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there's a couple things, Coach. One, as you said, the devil's going to be angry. Why? What is he sharing that's going to make the devil angry? Is it knowledge?
He's going to share the truth.
The knowledge.
Yep.
So from the very beginning, God had forbidden knowledge. Well, guess what? Satan does not want the body of Christ assembled because of this knowledge getting assembled.
Amen.
You know how these huddles are. We all meet each other, and we realize that we overlap each other's knowledge.
We do.
About Christ, and that's exactly what the devil does not want, because he knows all that.
Mm-hmm.
And once we assemble the knowledge, he'll be more fearful. Now, the second thing to note is, David, those books you're handing out, go ahead and let those guys' children know that they're going to try to take them away.
Amen. That's right. Hey, let me tell you something, though. They ain't going to be able to take them away, because I'll tell you why. These kids aren't going to give them up. They're not going to give them up, man.
David, well, they might. They might. To authority. And this is the difference, is we answer to Jesus. He's our authority. And that's who gives them the right to have that book.
That's right.
Let me give you a suggestion. One of the things I used to really hate about going to church was that stupid bulletin. Everybody reading it and trying to do praise and worship and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You see something in it that makes you angry and everything's all messed up. Wait until about halfway through your presentation.
Oh, my.
Book's out.
Oh, I'm not going to give them the book until they, so after the class, when they're walking out. On their way out of the class is when they're going to get the book.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, listen, let me tell you, that's going to work. That's going to work for about one period. Right? That'll work for about one period.
That's what I was going to say.
Don't ever forget this, man. Don't forget this. I was in there a couple weeks ago, right? And I talked to the men about boldness and standing up and truth and objective truth and subjective truth. So their eyes are going to be a little, this is going to be a great, great moment. Wish I was there, David. Man,
I wish it for you too, Coach.
Yeah, you don't need me to hold your hand, though. You don't.
No,
need
I don't. But it'd be nice.
We'll pray that the recording comes out perfect, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be holding his hand, Coach.
It's not just about exposing the darkness. That's not what it's just about. It's about that one student.
Yeah,
the one that's right. Farthest from him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
To receive something that they need to receive from him.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
David, yeah. those kids who are lost, I thought about Residue. They're so angry. Brother, they've been so hurt. They're so angry. They're so angry. And I just pray that you won't be able to communicate with those kids, right? Just be able to communicate with them. Hey, Dave, just gird yourself up because the attack coming your way is going to be –
I am. I'm getting ready to start getting ready right now. I got my power prayer book. I'm getting ready to get off of here and get into some prayer get on my face. And so God bless you guys. Thank you so much. And keep praying.
You're the Lord's man. You're the Lord's man. David, you're going to do great today. Hell's going to break loose after today. Just telling you. Hey, listen. I'm going to run to you. I'm not going to run away from you, buddy. We'll come and stand with you. Amen.
All right.
Thanks. David, you're walking in there with a minigun, and you got tens of thousands of rounds of ammo. You're going to lay them out.
Yeah, it's going to be God, I wish I was there. Yeah, I wish I was there.
All right.
You do good. Hey, you know, guys, listen, I wrote a commentary yesterday on the airplane. Y'all try that one, but I did. Got one out there. And, you know, The Lord is amazing. I knew I had to write a commentary yesterday, and I knew I had to spend some time on the plane. I didn't have to. I don't get paid to do my commentaries. Okay, I just write them, post them out several different places on our website. So you probably have all received it today, but I was going through TSA again yesterday. They were nice to me. I mean, I was pre-checked, so that's really easy when you walk through pre-check. But you know, what I was thinking as I was walking the whole time I'm doing it. I'm thinking, I'm guilty till proven innocent. I'm guilty. I got to prove to them that I don't have a weapon on me before they'll let me get on that plane. I got to prove it to them. Everybody's suspect. And I'm going through that TSA, and I'm looking around at other people that are standing in line, and I'm thinking, you know, if I had this TSA job, I'd be profiling. I would be. Not allowed to do that, are you? Not allowed to profile. I'm having that conversation with myself, with the Holy Spirit as I'm unloading and loading my stuff into the machine and walking through. I'm having that talking about profiling. Profiling is a good thing. You know what came to me? I think it's from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, well, Coach, men are being sexually profiled. I said, what? He says, are you watching? I'm making this dialogue up. These are the questions are coming to me. I think it's the Holy Spirit. I said, aren't you watching? Aren't you watching what's going on there in Washington, D.C. with Kavanaugh? Don't you realize that they're profiling particularly white men? All white men rape women. All white men are animals. All white men only care about themselves. All white men only care about their penises. Can't you see, fellas, that we are all guilty? We are all being sexually profiled. And then I think of that scumbag up there in Minnesota, that Keith Ellison. See, he's not being sexually profiled because he'd be a Muslim. And Muslims, even though we know, I don't know about Keith Ellison, but we know that Muslims are deviants. They're deviants. I'll say it. I know nobody else will. They're deviants. They're sexual deviants. Not all Muslims, but Muhammad himself was a pedophile, right? Are they sexually profiling the Muslims? Are they sexually profiling the little Chinese people that come walking through, the little Japanese people? Are they sexually profiling them? Are they sexually profiling the black men that come through? No, 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 no. They're sexually profiling the white Christian men. That's what's going on. Now, how do we let them get away with that? What, better yet, why do we take it? Why do we let them do that to us? Now, here's my question. You ever thought about that before? That we are daily being sexually profiled. Every one of you, white men in particular, maybe you too, Paul, maybe you too, Vinny, I don't know. Every one of us, white, heterosexual, Protestants are being sexually profiled by the Jezebel spirit. Somebody react to that for me.
Yes.
Truth. The most discriminated group in the world are white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant men.
Jim, you're not even allowed to speak. You're not even allowed to even say that. You're not even allowed to say it. That's why I wrote it. That's why I wrote it, because people won't say it. In fact, Jared, scroll down the bottom. I'm not going to read this. I'm not going to take the time. We only got 15 minutes left. I'm not going to take the time. But it's one thing, stop right there. Have you noticed that in the Kavanaugh hearings, no one is questioning the integrity of the accuser? Have you seen how they just fall all over themselves? Oh, she's a woman. She's got to be telling the truth. Women don't lie. No way. No, not women. They don't lie. She's a woman. We all know that poor, helpless women don't lie. Everyone's falling over backwards, speaking about her bravery and her. Scroll up a little bit, Jared. And how believable she is. It makes me gag! You know why? Because I think she's lying. Are you allowed to say that? Is a white male permitted to have an opinion in America anymore? Is the bigotry and sexual harassment simply, is it bigotry and sexual harassment simply to question what some appearing out of nowhere babe has to say? Believing her just because she's a woman is the most insidious form of bigotry. Does anatomy now determine veracity? Is a woman to believe simply because she has a vagina? Is that where we are now in America? Sorry, dudes and duets, I ain't buying it, man. The real war in America is the war on men. I don't trust Feinstein, Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris, Susan Collins, Maxine Waters, Joy Behar, Whoopi, and Potiphar's wife. I don't trust any of them. I think they're all conniving, sexist, and power-hungry. Everyone lies about sex. Remember that, Bill Clinton defenders? Let me cut to the chase here. Any woman who would support the killing of an unborn baby cannot be trusted. I'm going to pause and let that sink in. If you will kill an unborn baby, you'll do anything. Abortion reveals a great character flaw. Lying about sex would be nothing compared to lying and able to kill an unborn child. Freaking men better stand up and start fighting. Women run the home. They run the schools. They run the church. They run the government. Most importantly, Chad, they run the bedroom. Rare is the woman who has made it to the top, who has not used her sexuality to her advantage. I'm going to pause and wait for the amens.
Amen.
Amen.
There, I said it. I'm tired of the double standard. Evil women sexualize their power. Weak men are putting up with it. If you think that women don't use sex as a weapon, you are a stinking fool. What is that saying? Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Huh? A woman would never lie to protect her right to abortion. No, would she? No, she'd never lie about that.
And I think weak men have turned into lazy men.
Weak men have turned into lazy men. And yeah, I'm married.
Well, or vice versa. Or vice versa. Lazy men have given away their birthright. There you go.
There you are.
Go back to the abortion thing. Norma McCorvey even has openly admitted that she lied about abortion to try to have one, to make Roe versus Wade law of the land.
And do you see what they're doing to us, right? We got to believe her because she's a woman? Are you kidding me?
She said she was raped, Coach. Norma McCorvey said she was raped. That's how Roe versus Wade came into being.
Yeah, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. It's like I heard this story. I might as well get on because they already think I'm a stinking misogynist, and I really don't care. It's like the businessman that goes out on some night and he's looking for a woman. He's negotiating whether or not she will spend the evening with him. And he says, listen, I'll give him $1 million if you'll come and come with me. And the woman says, $1 million? Are you kidding? He said, well, let me think about it. He said, how about 50? She says, 50? Well, you think I'm some kind of slut? And he said, man, we've already determined what you are. We're just haggling over the price. Huh? You won't hear that on Rush Limbaugh. Got that right, Wing Watch? What the? What was wrong with us? What? We think women are virtuous. All women are. Hey, will somebody give me a break? Will somebody out there give me a break? Michelle, you're not mad at me, are you, honey? She's a virtuous woman. And yes, I'm married. 39 years is what I wrote next month. I love my wife. Hang on, Jared. My wife loves me and I love her. She agrees with my assessment. Our marriage bed is undefiled. How many of those elected officials can claim that? Sexual profiling is making men fearful and weak. Grow a pair, pal. Stand up and push back.
Hey, Coach. I guess that gal down, or that she might have been a trans, she might have been a real man that just pretended to be a woman that blamed all those Duke lacrosse players. That couldn't have been a woman, because a woman wouldn't lie like that.
Women don't lie, Larry. Those poor women, you know, from the time they're born, their vagina is just under attack. It's just awful. This is craziness.
Coach, hey, these same women that are always talking about how virtuous women are and they should be believed, the women in these positions are these the journalists and the like. These are the same women that were behaving in such unbelievable ways on college campuses. Most of them were probably in sororities connected, and they're doing everybody out of complete control. And now here they are in this position, X amount of years later, and they're trying to talk about virtue.
How would you like to do some research, Bobby Lee, on Whoopi's sex life?
Yes.
Huh? I bet that's ugly.
Right.
Oh, don't get me going. You already got me going. Yeah, go ahead.
Is America now a matriarchy?
Say it again, Lindell.
Is America now a matriarchy?
It's a Jezebelarchy. Jezebelarchy.
that too. Right?
Huh? You know Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, who they wants to be the senator from California. You know, it's open knowledge that she had sex with Willie Brown and some other guys, and she slept her way to the top. What? Listen. I believe in a virtuous woman. I married one. I love virtuous women. I do. But I'm not going to sit back and watch men be smirched and drugged through the mud for simply being men. And if you think that all men, all white, Christian, white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant men are sex fiends and sex abusers, you got yourself a real serious problem. But that is what they're painting all of us to be. Fellas, we got it. Our children, our grandchildren, my grandsons, I don't even know what lies ahead of them. I feel like I'm rambling. I'm a rambling man. How much time? I got 7 minutes. Somebody help me bring this thing home.
Listen, one other thing, and we haven't even mentioned in this discussion how women and guys, but women behave on spring breaks everywhere. as well as Burning Man that I think ended just X amount of weeks ago. Yeah. Listen, they have an orgy dome there. So you're telling me the hundreds of women that enter that orgy dome are virtuous?
Come on, Dad. Come on there. You know better than that, right? Huh? All of you out there listening right now, go to Fort Lauderdale on spring break and look how the girls dress. Now, why are they showing all that candy if they don't want somebody buying it at the store? Can somebody tell me that? Why are they showing all that fruit if they don't want somebody picking it? Just come on. Enough of this baloney. Marcy, she's mad. She wants to jump in here.
Oh, I just have one thought. It's been a heavy on my heart forever that God created family, and everything you're talking about here today is destroying family. And we don't want to hear about one man, one woman. We don't want to hear about how holy God is and what he expects of us.
Mm-hmm.
Family,
You want to hear it?
We've got a church family. We have our families, our children. And what you talked about last night was protecting those children. And it can't be emphasized enough.
That's why it's so important that David Arthur's going into that school today, because we have to protect our kids. Yeah. Couple minutes. Come on in. Good word, Bobby Lee. Somebody come on in.
Right, Coach? I mean, how much time do you spend with, how much time do married men spend with their wives? And why wouldn't the devil attack that? You know? How much time do you spend with your wife? 90%? 85%? How many days do you spend separated from your wife? Right? And if he could taint that, obviously he would. So then...
Hey, I got a better one for you. Let me pull my shirt down here. How many of you men spend time building virtue into your daughters? Not mom. How many times you as dads? I would bet you 1,000,000 to 1 that a lot of these angry girls we see running around town in all these marches, I bet you they either came from a fatherless home or a home where dad really wasn't even there. And the anger that they have towards men is unnatural. It's unnatural. And it's a job of only a daddy can build virtue into his daughter. Only a daddy can. And one of the things that I look back over my life that I tried to do everything I could, try to build that into our daughters. And I don't know what kind of lives they led when they went to college. I don't know. But I know that they're virtuous women today. I know that their husbands honor them because my daughters demand that their husbands honor them. And when guys go looking for a girl, they go looking for a girl like my daughters. They don't go looking for those. They may get drunk and they may go out on a Friday night and they may go looking for somebody else's daughter. But when they're looking for somebody to be the mother in their home, they're looking for Abby and Maggie. That just happens to be the truth. And only a dad can build that virtue into his daughters.
Well, what I raised my kids up is saying, be, and anybody else that I talk to, maybe counselor or whatever, I always say, be who you want to attract. Be who you want to be with. You know, if you're out at the club, you're trying to get some person from the church, that's not reasonable and that's not going to happen. If you can't walk, then don't expect somebody who can. You've got to get up there on their level, wherever that is. That period. That's it.
Man, we need daddies. We need daddies so bad, man. We need daddies so bad. David Arthur is going to go into Worthington Kilbourne High School today. I can tell you this right now. The most vicious people are going to be those women who I believe have been hurt by daddy, been hurt by a man. Not affirmed by men. They hate men. Because most teenage girls in particular have never really had a strong role model in their life. Sad but true. So, hey, listen, we're running down here. Got to get on a plane later on. Keep David Arthur in your prayer. I don't think David's still with us right now. But I want you to think about this. I want to be careful saying this because I don't want to give the devil any ideas and any plans, because there's no weapon that's formed against David's going to prosper. But can you imagine how the devil and his team are going to dig and connive and try to discredit David Arthur? Can you imagine? Do you guys understand what's going to go on here? You understand?
I just don't think it's going to be possible today, Dave. It's just not going to be possible.
Not today. It's not going to. No, it's not going. Not today. I'm just saying, you know, boy, oh boy, they're going to come out. They're going to be. They're going to talk about the fact that you just know what they're going to do. So let's keep him in prayer. And I want those of you who have been listening to the show a long time. Remember last spring when I said I had the chance to get him in, they wouldn't let him come in. You remember that, don't you? They wouldn't let him come in. And we said, I said, it's a Christian teacher. Give him some slack, yada, yada, yada. Well, it's the same Christian teacher. Here we are about 6 months later, and he's had the courage to bring him in. So I'm saying this, JR, some of you that are out there listening, I believe he, the teacher, might need our support when this whole thing's over. Because the last thing that they want is for this truth. It's for this truth to be exposed to those kids. Man, oh man. Boy, these battles are everywhere, aren't they? They're everywhere. What a time to be alive. So I'm in Oskaloosa, Iowa, getting ready to leave here to head back home, coming back to Manchester, Iowa next week. Want to come to where you are. We got to raise up an army right where you are. The only reason we don't win is because we aren't playing. Absent without leave. God bless you. See you tomorrow.